Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to a special edition of the Locked On Red Sox podcast. The MLB trade deadline is over. The Red Sox made three trades, one of which was significant. The other two just only seemed to make the fan base more angry than they were before them. And to break it all down, I am Jason Mastrodonato from the Boston Herald, alongside my co-host, Nesson's Lauren Campbell. We didn't expect the Red Sox to do nothing today, and yet I think that's kind of what they did. They ended up acquiring Kyle Schwarber on Thursday, which we will talk about it in a second, and a right-handed pitcher, Hansel Robles, from the Minnesota Twins. Robles is kind of a middle reliever type, not having a very good season with the Twins, an ERA close to five. And another pitcher, a lefty from the Pittsburgh Pirates, who has a career ERA close to six. In order to do so, they gave up Michael Chavis, and in order to get Kyle Schwarber, they gave up Aldo Ramirez, who is their ninth best prospect according to SoxProspects.com, or their 19th best prospect according to MLB.com. So, where do we start, Lauren? Because I think we have to start with the most obvious question. Did the Red Sox do enough?
No, I don't think they did enough at all because they needed a first baseman. They did not address that. They needed relief pitching. They addressed it, yes, but they addressed it in a way where it's going to allow the relievers they have now to get maybe more rest. I don't see these guys going in high leverage situations. So I don't know. I'm definitely disappointed. I mean, Alex Cora seems very optimistic. Chaim Bloom seems very optimistic, which, I mean, what are they going to say? But overall, besides the Schwarber move, it's kind of a disappointing deadline again for the Red Sox.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was the general takeaway, is that fans were pretty disappointed. You know, the 4 o'clock deadline went, and there's always like a few trades that trickle in after 4 o'clock. And as of 4 o'clock, the Red Sox were the only American League contending team that had not made multiple moves. So the Yankees made three significant moves. The Rays made a few. The White Sox made some serious moves. The Astros, the A's, and even the Blue Jays gave up two of their best prospects to go get Jose Berríos from the Twins, who was really the ace that people thought the Red Sox might get because he's got 2 years of control. Maybe they can sign him after this, after he finishes up his contract next season. But he goes to the Blue Jays, who also got Brad Hand and Joaquin Soria. So we look at the standings right now. The Red Sox are a game and a half up on the Rays. They're 8.5 up on the Yankees. They're 9.5 up on the Blue Jays. And I don't think it's a safe lead. It doesn't feel safe.
It doesn't, especially after what the Blue Jays did on Friday. I mean, they made some moves. They bolstered their entire team. And now they're a scarier team. They were good to begin with, and now that they're playing at Rogers Center, I wonder if that plays into it too, where they have this added motivation to be home, added motivation because they have better players. They made their team a better team. And the AL East is still very much up in the air. I mean, it's not locked down by any means. And the Blue Jays could really make a run here in the final months of the season.
They certainly could. And we've seen them play the Red Sox pretty tough. I mean, they smacked them around 13-1 on Thursday night. You know, I'm not particularly terrified of the Blue Jays, but they can make things interesting. The Yankees scare me more because they got a lot of guys coming off the injured list, and that's a team that now has two huge left-handed bats in Gallo and Rizzo that are going to join an offense that has kind of struggled, even though the pitching staff's been phenomenal. So the Yankees are scary. I'm not even that scared about the division. You know, the Rays added Nelson Cruz last week, but they didn't do much on Friday. It's more about look around the American League. The White Sox got Craig Kimbrell, and all of a sudden they have Craig Kimbrell and Liam Hendricks, arguably the two best closers in baseball this season, are both on the White Sox right now. And they already have a pretty decent starting staff. That's a scary team. You look at what the Houston Astros did. They get Kendall Graveman. They added two other relievers in Phil Matone and Yimi Garcia. Even the Oakland A's made four additions. Josh Harrison, Yan Gomes, Andrew Chafin, and Starling Marte. So it's those teams that scare me more because the Astros have kind of kicked the Red Sox around. They haven't really played the A's that much. We still have some games with the White Sox to see. But I think that's what Red Sox fans are going to see is what happens in October? Did the Red Sox do enough? And as of right now, I'd say it's hard to say that they did.
No, I absolutely agree. And part of me thinks, or makes me wonder, if they're really banking on Chris Sale coming back and being the ace that he's been for so long, moving somebody to the bullpen who could give you 3 or 4 innings, and just kind of counting that on that works, which is a risk. It's a very big risk, because the people going to the bullpen would be Garrett Richards, Martin Perez, maybe even Nick Pivetta, maybe even Erod. But even then, you know, Erod could barely get through 3 innings during his last start. Garrett Richards just relies way too much on one pitch, and it's kind of the same old song and dance. Like, the Red Sox need pitching. They didn't address the pitching, and it's been, for the most part, sustainable. But when the other teams around you are improving and doing everything they can to make themselves a better team, and you're staying the same, that's not going to be sustainable anymore.
It's not going to be for this year. And, you know, I feel, you look at it, it's not a perfect situation. You look at it, the Red Sox weren't really supposed to contend this season. Alex Cora has just been too good of a manager, really. He's taken a roster that we all thought was below average entering the year, and they end up in first place at the trade deadline. You feel for the manager, who really doesn't get any pieces, and now he's got to have Kyle Schwarber, who's a great bat. I mean, Kyle Schwarber, one of the elite left-handed bats in baseball. You look at the numbers against righties, he's as good as anybody, an OPS near 1,000. You know, he's got 24 homers and 300 at-bats. You know, that's like 50 home run pace over a full season. He's a great left-handed hitter. But now Alex Cora has got to teach him to play first base and hope he can play first base. And if he can't, what are you doing? You got Bobby Dalbec still at first. You know, do you call up Tristan Casas, who's not ready, who's at the Olympics right now, is not even having a great season in Double A? Now all of a sudden you've got a logjam in the outfield. I mean, there's a lot of risk in terms of Schwarber being the only impact player they acquired.
There is, and what scares me is that when the Red Sox said that they were open to trying him at first base, it just made me flash back to Christian Arroyo gets hurt in the first time he plays first base because he doesn't know how to play first. And it also reminds me of Hanley Ramirez being taught what foot you put on the bag when they moved him to first base. So it's a risk, and you know, Schwarber, there's no denying his power, but he's already dealing with a hamstring injury. He should be back fairly soon. Do you want to risk that him playing a position he's unfamiliar with and risk further injury, and then all of a sudden your biggest trade acquisition is down for the season or a couple more weeks? It's so risky. And I loved the Schwarber signing, or the trade. I did. Until they were like, oh, yeah, we're going to try him at first. What? Yeah, I love the versatility, but no, he's never played first.
And they, you know, maybe they end up putting him in left, and Verdugo and Renfro platoon. You know, there are some options here, but you still have a problem at first base. You know, Hanley Ramirez was a good callback. You know, how much he struggled to play first base. I thought by the end of it, he was actually okay defensively. You know, it was rocky at first, but at the end, I thought he was actually fine. It was more just he wasn't hitting, which is why they ended up releasing him from his contract early. The guy I thought of, and I actually texted today, and I'm going to talk to tomorrow on the phone, is Mike Napoli. Because Napoli was, just like Kyle Schwarber, was a catcher first, who ended up moving to first base. And Nap, I thought, should have won a gold glove at first base. I thought he was a phenomenal first baseman. And we see Christian Vasquez, who's a catcher, and he goes to the infield sometimes, and he makes it look easy. He plays second, he plays third, I think he's played some first.
Yeah, he's been all over.
I do have faith in the catcher's ability to play the infield, because that's how they're trained to kind of handle ground balls. Coming up, I'm going to tell you why I think it was actually a sensible decision for the Red Sox not to add any more players at the trade deadline. But first, we are supported by Built Bar. Built Bar has so many delicious flavors. You can find them in your local grocery store. You can go to built.com and use the LOCKED15 promo code to get your 15% off. And it's the perfect snack when you're on the go, you're in a hurry, you don't have time, you want something substantial. You get 17 to 18 grams of protein. It's only 4 or 5 grams of sugar. It's really hard to find a snack that gives you the protein without the sugar. It's rare. And there's only 4 or 5 grams of carbs, under 200 calories. It's really the perfect healthy snack when you're in a pinch. I had a cookies and cream one yesterday. I always say it kind of tastes like a Tootsie Roll with the chewiness of it. But you don't taste the protein, which I like. A lot of these protein bars, you can just taste the crumbliness of the protein. You don't taste that with these. So go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. Okay, Lauren, before you cut my head off, I think that what Chaim Bloom did was sensible today, because he obviously didn't address needs that they had. He is absolutely, like you said, over-relying on Chris Sale to come back and be healthy and dominant. But did you want him, when you look around at what happened, you know, the Blue Jays gave up two prospects that were ranked really number 18 overall in baseball and another guy who's just outside the top 100, depending on who you look at. The Red Sox would have had to give up Tristan Casas or Jaron Duran or Marcelo Meyer to get a guy like Jose Berríos. And they didn't. And I'm okay with that. I think that's fine. They don't have the prospect capital to make some of these moves. And I don't think that's Chaim Bloom's fault. I think it's Dave Dombrowski's fault. You know, I think it's Ben Sherrington's fault, even going back to Ben and the lack of, you know, smart moves that Ben did not make at the end of his tenure. I think we might look back and say the Red Sox dodged a bullet by not giving up some of these guys.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of the Bruins when Don Sweeney took over for Peter Chiarelli, and it was just people were always angry at Don Sweeney for not making certain moves. And it's like Don Sweeney's not the reason the Bruins are in this mess. It's Peter Chiarelli. So it's kind of like the same effect going on with the Red Sox right now. And listen, I'm happy that not a whole lot was given up. I mean, Michael Chavis was the biggest name they gave up all the entire trade deadline. So, I mean, I'm going to take that every single year if I can. And there is, you know, potential in the offseason to sign some bigger names, get some better help and control that help instead of giving up something for a rental. So I'm disappointed, like I said earlier. I'm definitely disappointed in the trade deadline because they didn't address what they really needed. And I don't want to be that person, like, there's always next year. But this offseason could be very, very interesting, not just for the Red Sox, but for a ton of teams, a ton of free agents. And the Red Sox could really make some big moves in the offseason and really be even more competitive next year, because people forget that this year was just supposed to be, they're supposed to coast. They weren't supposed to be this good, and now they are. So I would have loved to see more get done. I would have loved, I mean, obviously Max Scherzer, who wouldn't want Max Scherzer, but, you know, even Jose Berríos I would have liked here. But it is what it is. The Red Sox, they need to build that farm system a little more, and they didn't give up the promising prospects that they do have for a rental. So at the end of the day, I don't think it's as bad as people on Twitter are making it out to be. It's just disappointing more than anything.
It is, and especially because it was such a busy trade deadline and all the other teams were making big moves. You know, the Cubs and Nationals basically sold all of their best players. There was a lot of good players to be had, and the Red Sox got one of them. You know, let's not forget, Kyle Schwarber could be an impact player. We'll see what happens in October if he's able to play first, what happens there. But it's a situation where it's not perfect. I don't think there was any way the Red Sox were going to be happy with how it went, because of what you said. This was supposed to be a bridge year, and this is a farm system that ranks, currently the most updated version is number 20 by Baseball America, that they only have three top 100 prospects, that they weren't really set up to trade any of them. And what could they have done? You know, maybe they could have done something like what the Yankees did, where they just gave away six of their prospects that are in the bottom end. You know, basically, I think the Yankees, the best one they gave up was their sixth or seventh best prospect for Joey Gallo. And, you know, the Red Sox gave up, what, their ninth best prospect to get Kyle Schwarber instead of Joey Gallo. That's fine. This was an imperfect situation to be in because of what Dombrowski kind of left Bloom to deal with. And I thought, you know, Bloom made sense. You know, the fan base has every right to be frustrated that this is a great team that did not get much better and all the other teams did. And Bloom has every right to do what he did, which his exact words were, the trades that were put in front of me didn't make sense.
Yeah, and you know what? You can't blame them because, again, especially with players who don't have control, why are you giving up potential big-name prospects like Marcelo Meyer for one? Tristan Casas, who's, again, like you said, is not having a really good year, but people will take that bet on him. And it's been a really interesting trade deadline because you've seen a lot of prospects. I mean, the Max Scherzer deal, but even some other big deals that have gone through, they've been prospect heavy, and the Red Sox just couldn't compete with that simply because of their farm system. And again, that goes back to Dave Dombrowski, and he did exactly what everyone knew he was going to do, blow up the farm system. And you can't fix it overnight. You can't fix it in a year. And the Red Sox are just working toward building that up to be better at trade deadlines next year, or, you know, make a better package, make a better offer, or go get somebody long-term and then trade for somebody, you know, like a reliever that they don't necessarily need, but that will help their bullpen.
Yeah, and, you know, the other part of this is Schwarber could end up being a great get. Like, we don't know. I mean, this is a kid who was drafted fourth overall in 2014. This is a guy who was once considered one of the elite hitters in baseball, and still, you know, some of the numbers say he still is right now. He's never really been the guy that I think people thought he was going to be, largely because he didn't stick at catcher. He ended up having to move to left field. So you lose some value when you do that. And he's been really bad against lefties. This is a guy who's only hit 200 with a 660 OPS against lefties in his career. He does all of his damage against righties, and he's been pretty streaky. But this is still the fourth overall draft pick. That, you know, that's the same pick that the Red Sox used on Marcelo Meyer. This is a guy who, if he plays well enough at the end of the season, if they say, you know what, he handled the transition to first base well, he just fit in the clubhouse, maybe he gets some big hits in the postseason, he looks like a natural in the postseason, he's been there before, maybe this is a guy we want to sign. You know, he's got 1,000 OPS in the postseason, he comes up with some big hits. That's when they gave Nathan Eovaldi a contract, when he had such a great postseason. Maybe they say, you know what, we see enough from him, let's sign him for a few years. We've got the money because we didn't take on a stupid contract at the trade deadline. Maybe we sign Kyle Schwarber for a few years, and then what do you do with Tristan Casas next year? Maybe you trade him next year in the offseason and bring back something else. So there's a lot of ways they can go with this. I think Schwarber could end up being a better get than we think.
Yeah, I think it's way too soon, too, to, you know, write it off as a bad trade, because we don't know anything about what he's going to do for the Red Sox. And he had a really good month of June. He was the NL player of the month with 16 home runs. He had 7 leadoff home runs. He had 30 RBIs in that month. And it was just a really, really good month for him until he got hurt, unfortunately. But, you know, he's had a really, really good year, and that's a bat you want in your lineup. The offense is really, really good. It's lethal. It's scary. And to add somebody like Schwarber to it makes it even scarier. Again, it's the pitching that worries me, but I think Schwarber's going to work out, whether that's first base or they platoon him in the outfield. I just hope the first base experiment is not as bad as it's been this year for the Red Sox all around. That's the only major red flag that I'm really concerned, because the last thing I want is for him to come back off the IL, injure his hamstring again because he's trying to do a split at, like, Christian Arroyo.
Exactly. Yeah, and you're right about the pitching, you know, and especially when you've got long-term needs in the starting rotation. We've talked about it, where three of these guys could be free agents after the season. You know, another one, Nick Pivetta, could be non-tendered if he doesn't perform better by the end of the year. You could end up only having Chris Sale and Nathan Eovaldi as your surefire starters in next year's rotation, and then you look at maybe Tanner Houck if they finally believe in him. Maybe Garrett Whitlock makes the transition. But they're going to need some starting pitching. They did not address that now. They're going to have to address it at some point, probably in the offseason. You know, I say I would end on the fact that I don't think the Red Sox are the best team in the American League still. I think the White Sox look better than them. I still think the Astros are probably better than them. And now the A's and the Yankees and the Rays are still sneaky good right up there with them. So they're going to have to do what they've done all year, which is just win close games and find a way to get it done and hope that they don't hit the injury bug, because they've been lucky this year with not having too many injuries.
They have been, and that's kind of what they're holding on to right now. I mean, Rafael Devers wasn't in Friday's lineup. Hopefully that's going to change Saturday, that this isn't longer than a few more days or just one more day. But, I mean, you knock on wood, they've been fairly healthy. And if they start getting injured now, it's not going to go well for the rest of the season, especially with the additions other teams have made.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot before we end.
Oh, no.
Were there any trades or any players that got traded that you were particularly upset about? You're like, oh, the Red Sox should have made that trade. That was the one right there. That's the guy that you wanted for this team. Or that trade looked fair and you wish the Red Sox were in it. Were there any ones that stood out to you?
Maybe Jose Berrios going to the Blue Jays. I think that might be the only one that really stood out. I haven't done a whole lot of research on the return package for him. But so I know that they gave up someone, it was a hefty package for him, though.
Yeah, Austin Martin is the number 18 overall prospect in baseball and is their second best prospect. So that's like, you know, I mean, that's giving up Casas. You know, you're giving up Casas, no question about it, and then probably building something else around him to get a year and a half of Jose Berrios. So you would have wanted to see them do that?
I think that I wouldn't have minded it, because they do need that starting pitching help. Before you finished your question, I was like, oh, my answer is John Lester. But there's no way he's going to come back to the Red Sox. But I was surprised to see him get traded just because I mean, again, the Nationals have been sellers, so we knew that. But just he's been moved around so much, I feel, of late. And I was very surprised to see him go. And my grandmother was not happy about that either.
You know, Lester's a great one because he barely cost anything. You know, they gave him up for a guy named Lane Thomas, who's a 25-year-old outfielder, has already been in the big leagues a little bit, hasn't done anything. You know, really one of those where you look at it, probably was a free pickup to just get John Lester. And he's not having a good year. But this is still a guy who's a postseason hero. And I do believe in having those kind of guys on your team. That if you need John Lester in the postseason, he's going to be there. Even in his down years, he seems to be there in the postseason. He's got one of the best postseason records of any pitcher in baseball history. So that's a good one. That's a good one, John Lester. I would not have traded for Berríos based on that cost. I think the Sox need a first baseman too bad, and Cassis looks like he could be a really good one. You could convince me otherwise, though. I would have been probably fine with it, but I understand why the Red Sox didn't. To me, I don't think there were any trades that I would have looked at and thought, gosh, the Red Sox really have to, you know, they missed the boat on this. You know, the Rockies ended up deciding not to move anybody, where we thought they were going to move Trevor Story, maybe John Gray or Germán Márquez. They moved nobody. You know, maybe they could have got one more reliever, an actual, you know, decent reliever instead of guys that have ERAs near five this year. But, you know, again, I thought they didn't address their needs, and I'm okay with it, I guess, is my summary of the Red Sox at the trade deadline.
It's not a bad summary because, like we talked about, it's they didn't have to give up a ton of prospects. The biggest name they gave up, Michael Chavis, he was just a fan favorite, so people will be mad about that. But at the end of the day, they didn't blow anything up, and I think that's going to set them up for better success next year.
Yep. So I think that's a great place to end it. Lauren's going on vacation, so we're going to miss her next week. But I'll be here. We'll have to get some good guests to try to fill those big shoes. You can always subscribe, follow the podcast, leave us a review, reach out on Twitter, let us know what you think. You can follow me at jmastrodonato or find my work in the Boston Herald.
And you can find all my work on nesson.com. Find me on Twitter at lalalalauren, three laws, Lauren with four R's. And of course, follow the Locked On Red Sox podcast at LO_Red Sox.
This podcast was brought to you by Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing. The MLB trade deadline is over, and the odds have changed on who the World Series favorites are. You can go to Bet Online and see what the odds look like now on all your favorite teams in the American League, the National League. Things are moving around. Players are shifting. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens. So before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. If you head to the website now, you can get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit if you use the promo code LOCKEDON. So go to BetOnline, get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, promo code LOCKEDON, your online sportsbook experts.